Radio Prague News. A Czech soldier serving in Afghanistan is reported to have been seriously injured in Friday's missile attack against the Shank operating base in Logar province. The Lower House has approved the government's pension reform, overriding the Senate's veto of the bill, and the head of Prague's National Theatre has been dismissed. A Czech soldier serving in Afghanistan is reported to have been seriously injured in Friday's missile attack against the Shank operating base in Logar province. The soldier, who was on the provincial reconstruction team, was airlifted to a military hospital in Kabul, where he is in the care of Czech physicians. There are currently some 300 Czech soldiers and civilian experts working at the base. The Lower House has approved the government's pension reform, overriding the Senate's veto of the bill. The legislation, which should take effect next year, introduces a so-called second pillar of the pension system, which will open the way for transfers of money from the state pension system to individual accounts in private insurance companies. People will also be able to transfer 3% of their social security insurance to private pension companies, on condition that they add 2% of their own. The opposition Social Democrats have criticized the second pillar for serving what they call only a select group of rich clients. Party leader Bohuslav Sobotka said his party would scrap the second pillar when it came to power. Culture Minister Alena Hanáková has dismissed the head of Prague's National Theatre, Ondřej Černý. A spokesman for the ministry said Mr. Černý had received a terse notice of dismissal on Friday morning, saying there had been no mention of why he was being sacked. Minister Hanáková's deputy, Martin Sankot, will run the theatre until a new head is appointed. Černý's mandate would have expired in March of 2013. The Lower House of Parliament has voted to give up MP David Rath for criminal prosecution in another case of suspected corruption. This case relates to manipulated tenders and dubious purchases at a number of central Bohemian hospitals. The motion was approved by 174 out of the 185 deputies present. The former central Bohemian governor, who is in custody facing corruption charges in connection with an alleged 7 million crown bribe, asked to be given up, saying he wanted to clear his name in court. Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg is expected to undertake a working visit to the United States later this month, a Czech Foreign Ministry spokesman said on Friday. Mr. Schwarzenberg is expected to travel to the United States on September 20th, and a meeting with U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has been scheduled for the next day. The Czech Foreign Minister will later travel to New York to attend a session of the UN General Assembly. The mayor of Ostrava, one of the most polluted cities in the country, has called on the EU's Environment Commissioner to help in resolving the situation. Mayor Petr Kainar says the town is prepared to invest in a long-term strategy to improve the environment, particularly the quality of air, but would like the problem to be addressed on a broader scale. The mayor says that according to several independent studies, most of the air pollution plaguing the town originates in neighbouring Poland. Health statistics show that the air pollution in the eastern part of the country, particularly Ostrava, has resulted in a growing incidence of asthma and allergy problems. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The weekend is expected to be mostly clear and sunny, with day temperatures ranging between 22 and 27 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Maggie Lund, coming up in our programme today. The outcome of mock elections held at Czech secondary schools on Thursday seemed to show the students' aversion to the political establishment. Then we've got the latest headlines in this week's business news, and after that, in arts, we visit Hunt Kastner Artworks, a gallery helping young Czech artists develop international careers. That's all still to come, plus more, so stay tuned. More than 22,000 Czech students cast their ballots in this year's edition of mock elections held at secondary schools across the country. Organised by the charity and human rights advocacy group People in Need, the mock elections put the Czech Pirate Party on top with 20% of the vote. The project is designed to increase students' participation in the election process, but it also showed how dissatisfied Czech students are with the political establishment. Jan Richter has the details.
The second edition of mock student elections were held at more than 160 Czech secondary schools on Thursday. Students aged 15 and over were offered ballots with the names of parties running in October's regional elections. They cast them at improvised polling stations, complete with voting booths. One of the schools taking part in the mock elections was a gymnasium or grammar school in Kladno, just outside of Prague. Some of the students talked to Czech radio about why they got involved. This young man said he took part because he wanted to support his favorite party, which he thought was important. Another student explained he didn't really understand the whole event. They just told me to go to vote, he said, so I went to vote. I have no idea what this is all about. While this student explained that everyone had a favorite party and it would be interesting to learn the results. The results differed somewhat by the region, but overall the Czech Republic's Pirate Party won with just over 20% of the vote, followed by the ruling Topo 9 Party and the right-wing extremist Workers' Party of Social Justice on third place. The senior right-of-center Civic Democrat received 7.8% of the mock student vote and came in fourth. The Communist Party only got 4.6%, just a little more than the Green Party. Looking at the outcome of the vote, the project's coordinator Radovan Hlaváček from the NGO People in Need says that the relatively high support for new, marginal and even extremist groups reflects students' aversion to the political establishment.
That's a message for us that there is something which needs to be changed, and that's why we do students' elections, that we want to establish educational project which would show important principles of democratic society to students and which would now enable them to explore election process and to be sort of more active citizens.
But Mr. Hlaváček also says that the mock student elections have a more immediate impact on Czech politics.
That's what happened 2 years ago when there was the first student election we organized, and there was about 6% increase of young people, of first-time voters, in areas where student elections were held. So that's important, and that's what we want to achieve.
In effect, more first-time voters taking part in the last general election brought more support and more seats in the lower house for some of the newly established parties like Topo 9 and Public Affairs.
That was Jan Richter reporting on the story. And if you'd like to get in touch and give us your thoughts about the story or any of our others, you can write to english@radio.cz. But now we've got business news, and Marsha Velinsky is here to bring us the top stories.
Czech gross domestic product fell by 0.2% from the first to the second quarter of this year. It is 1% less than it was a year ago. The GDP has been decreasing for the third quarter in a row, confirming an economic recession in the Czech Republic. The Czech economy has been shrinking due in large part to decreasing household consumption. Although Czech foreign trade remains in surplus, exports to EU countries suffered as a result of the EU's debt crisis.
The average gross monthly salary in the Czech Republic grew by 2.3% in the second quarter, according to figures released by the Czech Statistical Office on Monday. The average nominal wage was just over 24,500 crowns, almost 600 crowns more than in the same period last year. Yet, consumer prices grew by 3.4% during the past year as well, which actually means that real salaries decreased by 1.1% in the second quarter of this year. The increase in the price of living is partially due to the rising global prices of fuel and the increase in prices of basic food items. The insufficient growth in salaries may also be due to the increasingly slowing production of Czech companies.
According to an annual ranking of top-earning companies in Central Europe, compiled by Deloitte Czech Republic, the number of Czech companies in the top 500 has gone up from 80 last year to 84. Škoda Auto took third place in the CE top 500 list of companies from 18 Central and South Central European countries with the greatest overall yearly revenue. A total of 6 Czech companies made it into the top 30 slots on the list. The biggest firms in the region saw a 9.8% rise in profits year on year. The total profits of the Czech companies on the list rose by 18% to 120.3 billion euros, which makes up 17% of total business revenue in the region.
Half a year after the Czech Labour and Social Affairs Ministry began introducing much stricter policies affecting hiring of non-EU nationals, investors and international companies are becoming wary of entering or expanding on the Czech market. Claiming that Czech workers need to be better protected on the local jobs market, the ministry introduced more complex and costly procedures for validating vocational qualification for foreign workers and making it practically impossible for low-qualified workers from outside the EU to enter the jobs market at all. This is raising concerns from international companies like IBM or PricewaterhouseCoopers, who claim that they will reconsider starting new projects in the country. Providing necessary verifications of future employees' professional qualifications from abroad may cost a company anywhere between 10 and 100,000 crowns. It has become more difficult to hire new qualified workers from abroad, but also to fill those positions with Czechs who would be equally qualified. Czech and foreign-owned factories are also suffering because of insufficient local workforce to fill low-qualified positions.
The number of declared personal bankruptcies in the Czech Republic grew by 30% in August from the previous month. The August figure was 1,628 people, which is 53% more than the number of personal bankruptcies a year ago. According to analysis results released by the Czech Credit Bureau on Thursday, this is the highest number of bankruptcies since a new law was introduced in 2008. The number of bankruptcies filed in the 8 months of this year make up a third of all bankruptcies since 2008.
And that's all the business news for today. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Coming up next, in this week's arts feature, Ian Willoughby visits the Hunt Kastner Artworks Gallery in Prague to talk contemporary Czech art, running a gallery, and the Czech art scene from an outsider's point of view.
The sound of sawing at Hunt Kastner Artworks in Prague 7, where preparations are currently underway for a new show by the Czech conceptual artist Eva Kotyatkova. The private gallery is owned and run by Camille Hunt, who is Canadian, and Katja Kastner, who's from the US, though her mother is Czech. The two represent 10 Czech artists, among them Kotyatkova, Josef Bolf, and Daniel Pitín. This week I stopped by to talk to the owners about their work, both curating shows and helping their artists find buyers overseas. I first asked Camille Hunt what had led her and Katja Kastner to open the gallery in the first place.
What led us to open the gallery here is that there are few galleries representing artists working on that level. So there are a lot of art spaces, non-profit, artist-run spaces, but very few that are working, representing artists, showing them abroad. That's why we decided to open a small private gallery.
What's the experience been like so far? You've been open for 4 years, Katja.
Actually, surprisingly good. Better than expected. I think when we started the gallery, there's not really that much commercial art galleries here in Prague, and there's not really a big market for the kind of art that we're showing, which is pretty young and pretty progressive. Actually, our expectations in terms of sales and that sort of thing wasn't that high, and we've been really very pleasantly surprised.
How do you select the artists you would like to work with, Katja?
Actually, that's a very difficult decision. It's a question we get a lot, and people always want to know where we find the artists. And in fact, Camille and I have been living here since 1991 and been working in the arts field, so we know the artists, and we've known them for a long time, and it's something that you spend a lot of time watching their work over a period. But choosing the artists is always difficult because, in particular, we represent now 10 artists, and it's sort of a limit about how much artists that we can really give a lot of time to. And so we decided that we would focus on the younger generation because they're the ones who are in need of it most.
From your perspectives as foreigners, how would you regard the contemporary Czech art scene?
I think the artists are strong, but the infrastructure is quite weak still. So that's we're hoping to help change that in our small way. So, you know, I'm speaking of like the museums, you know, state institutions and city institutions. So we'd like to see those improve and get stronger, and it would help us, and generally everybody would benefit, the artists, the scene, gallerists. So we have to work in concert. So the scene, the artists are good, but the infrastructure is kind of, it's quite weak. I mean, the support.
Camille's right. I think that it's just not developed at a platform here. And it's what I said earlier, in particular, for instance, like the market for contemporary art was very weak or non-existent. In fact, we used to laugh when we opened the gallery. And I had friends in New York who were asking me, and they said, well, you're opening a gallery in Prague. What's the competition like? And I laughed and I said, well, we don't really have any competition. There's no market. And actually, that's changed over the past 4 years. And we'd like to see a lot more galleries open like us. And I think the artists really need it, because artists need to sell. They need to be able to fund their work and to develop their work. And so we'd be really happy to see more commercial galleries. And we'd be really happy to see, for instance, there to build up, for instance, like a gallery district like you find in Berlin or you find in Paris or you find in where there's more galleries that are working with artists.
Would you have any idea how Prague compares to other former Eastern Bloc capitals, like, for example, Warsaw or further eastwards?
For the scene, I mean, it doesn't compare favorably to Warsaw, for example, but it's hard to compare because Poland's a much bigger country. But the scene there is much more active. There are more young galleries, private galleries. The curators are more, Polish curators are more active internationally, so they get the Polish artists out there. So it doesn't compare that favorably. And also the Polish market for contemporary art is much more developed. There are many more local collectors of contemporary art, which is not the case here so much. But compared to, for example, Hungary, or it's probably about this, maybe on the same level. It's, you know, I'm speaking gross generalizations, but yeah.
Tell me about the international aspect of your business and how it works in practical terms, selling Czech artists' work abroad.
Well, the international part of our business is actually quite important. And in fact, from the beginning, the majority of our collectors were from abroad. They were serious collectors who have serious collections, who really think about it and add to their collection-specific pieces from. And they're interested in the, I mean, that was a great thing for us, I think, and it was really positive for us to see that people were interested in not just us, but outside. They're interested in the work from, you know, I mean, a purely artistic perspective. They weren't just collecting Czech artists or artists that they knew. This was artists who they didn't know, and they saw their work and they saw the quality of it. And so I said that's been really important for us. And as Camille also said, it's, in terms of like expanding the platform for the Czech artists, this is really important. It's getting them more their work seen outside of this very small sort of centralized Prague circle. So that's been very important. And we've been, for that, we go to the art fairs. We go to the big art fairs, really well-known places like in Basel or in London or in the U.S. And as I said, so that's an important part of what we do, is bringing the artist's work outside of and introducing it to new people. And it's not just collectors, it's also curators and museum directors and people who are working in the arts on an international level.
What kind of reception has the work of the artists you represent met abroad?
They've been met with great enthusiasm, so we're very happy about that. So, and I would say, again, coming back to your question about the art scene here, the artists are as strong as anywhere else. It's just they're not, when I speak of weakness, it means they're not represented internationally. So when we do show them internationally, I mean, the reception is what it should be, because the artist's work is good.
Eva Kotyatkova, one of Hunt Kastner Artworks' artists, was the recipient of the prestigious Jindřich Chaloupecký Prize for Young Czech Artist of the Year in 2007, and is one of the hottest conceptual artists of her generation. Her new show, Controlled Memory Loss, opens at the gallery next Wednesday. Camille Hunt told me it'll be very interesting, but didn't want to give away too much about what it will entail.
It's continuing her exploration of familiar social structures like the family and the home, and looking at those limitations and how they define us and how we negotiate these things. So, and it'll be consist of video and installation work, drawings, and I think it'll be very interesting work. New work she's working on right now. You might be able to hear the machines in the background sawing and drilling.
And tell us how your relationship with her works, how it's developed.
Well, yeah, Ava is, I guess you could say, one of our up-and-coming artists. I like to think, actually, a lot of ours are up-and-coming artists. With our other artists, I said we represent 10 artists. We actually work with them very closely over long term. And that's the important thing that I think we're doing in the Czech Republic, which is maybe new for other galleries here. It's not just one show and then thank you very much and then on to the next person. So we work with people really over the long term. So with Ava, we're giving the show here, and then we're actually going to show her in Basel a solo project in June, which is a continuation of this one. It's a very close relationship with the artists that we represent. We work with them over a long period of time on exhibitions here, exhibitions abroad, and their work in general.
That was Catherine Kastner ending that report from Ian Willoughby. And that edition of Arts was first broadcast in January 2010. Sadly, that was the final part of Radio Prague's English show for today, but you can always catch all our programmes again online at radio.cz. And if you want to get in touch with any questions you might have, or even just to let us know what you think, then you can go ahead and write to english@radio.cz or by post to Vinohradska 12, postal code 12099, Prague 2. But that's all for today. So from me, Maggie Lund, and all of us at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.